We are going to be in Mark chapter 6 today. Mark chapter 6, 3 verses 30 through 32. Mark chapter 6. So, 2016 was quite a year. Quite a year. Can you think of something good that happened in 2016? The Cubs won the World Series. Yay! Yes. The Cubs won the World Series. The Rio Olympics were lovely. Your family was together all at once. I know, Char, that hadn't happened for you in a really long time. And 19 years since her family had all been together.
Ethel Packy turned 90.
Right. Oh. Isn't it fun to have milestone birthdays? It's so fun. I had one too. I had a milestone birthday this year. And okay, so, but most of us are ready to kick 2016 to the curb. I mean, we are just ready. You know, when I opened up my Facebook last night and there had been another celebrity death, I was like, oh my word, please. You know, an incredibly divisive presidential election, the Flint, Michigan water crisis, a huge number of notable deaths. Syria's civil war turned 5 in 2016, and it just seems to be getting more and more awful. Brexit, the Orlando Pulse nightclub shooting, it seems to have been a year of protests. Over and over again, people are taking to the street, and some in healthy ways, and many in not in healthy ways. And then, of course, it is New Year's Day, and so how many of you are ready to do your New Year's resolutions, right? You're ready? And some of you are like, no, been there, done that, tried that. You know, but some of you remain hopeful, and so you're like, yeah, this is the year I'm going to exercise and eat right and lose weight. This is the year I'm going to quit smoking or quit drinking or quit drugging. This is the year I'm going to get serious about my spiritual life. I'm going to budget. I'm going to pay off my debt. I'm going to save for the future. I'm going to organize my house. That seems to be the thing this year. Organize my house. I'm going to organize my office. I'm going to organize my calendar. I'm going to become more efficient so I can do more in less time. Anybody thinking that way? Yep, I'm going to keep focused this year. I'm going to keep focused. I'm going to work more efficiently. I'm going to speed up how I do things. I'm going to multitask. You know. Okay, why would we choose this? Because we're a recovering perfectionist and workaholic. That's me. It's me, recovering perfectionist and workaholic. Do more efficiently, do it the right way the first time. Because here's how my crazy thinking thinks, that if I do everything right, there will be no problems. Yeah, like that ever works out. Right, so here's what happened. So, being productive makes me feel important. It makes me feel needed. You know, we went through the thing of, you know, who am I now that we are empty nesters. Maybe some of you have gone through the thing of who am I now that I'm retired. Maybe that's you. Being productive, being efficient, keeps the adrenaline pumping. Right? I'm always need to be, you know, redeeming that time. You know, and for many of us, it's, you know, it's media, 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 media. There's always a radio going, there's always a television going, there's always music going, you know, checking the Instagram, checking the email, Facebook, you know, media, 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 gotta stay connected, gotta stay on top, gotta stay on the ball. But did you know that you can actually be addicted to stress? You can actually be addicted to adrenaline, right? It does. It works in your body just like many of the other things that we can become addicted to. And we get that kind of adrenaline high, that zzzz, right? Hurry. When we are hurried, everything stays on this safe, superficial level. You know, 3 miles wide and an inch deep. And it means that I don't have to look closely at my relationships. I don't have to look closely at my situation. I don't have to look closely at my soul. You know, how many of us have said, you know, I just need to keep staying busy. As long as I keep staying busy, I'm okay. Because when I slow down for a moment, then that grief wave hits. Right? Or that fear, or that loneliness, or that whatever it is that we do not want to address. But if I just stay busy, then it stays over there and I'm okay. This is called hurry sickness. And there's really a definition for it. It is unhealthy, that's an important word, unhealthy, continuous internal drive to accomplish more and achieve more and experience more in less and less time. Pack that calendar, pack that schedule. How many of us have gone on a vacation and you're more tired when you get back from the vacation than when you left? Yeah. Got to get the biggest bang for my buck. Hurry sickness. And we know that the more and more and more and more actually has diminishing returns. It keeps us from living well. And it can actually destroy our souls. John Ortberg said this. He said, for many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of faith. We will just skim our lives instead of actually living them. It takes time to get off the surface level and to dive deep. And so, my friends, looking at this definition of hurry sickness, do you want a life like this? Jesus offers an alternative. Thanks be to God. Let's look at Mark 6, verses 30 through 32. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. Jesus had sent them out to do what he does. Sent him out to preach and teach and heal and care and be compassionate. And now they had come back and they were reporting all the miracles, all the work that had happened. And so look what Jesus says to them. Verse 31. He said to them, come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Jesus' cure for hurry sickness is ceasing. Everybody say ceasing. It's a great word, isn't it? Ceasing. Ceasing. It sounds so much better than stop. You know, how many of us, when we were little, we had an adult in our life go, stop it! Right? Stop it! No, no, no. Ceasing. It's just better. Ceasing. And ceasing can be described as solitude, silence, slowing, and Sabbath. solitude, silence, slowing, and Sabbath. Ceasing from distraction, ceasing from noise, ceasing from trying to do it in our own strength, ceasing hurry. Jesus says, come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. Come away, deserted place, all by yourself, and rest a while. Jesus practiced this regularly throughout his ministry. In fact, his ministry is bookended by two times of ceasing, two times of silence and solitude and slowing and Sabbath. So Jesus is baptized. Holy Spirit descends. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Beginning of the ministry, and what does he immediately do? He goes into the wilderness for 40 days of solitude and silence and prayer and fasting and getting away from what the world would want to name him so that he could rest in what his Father had just named him. Beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. After the Last Supper, on the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, what did he do before the arrest? He went to Gethsemane, and he got quiet, and in the silence of that olive orchard, that garden, he got ready. Both of them were hard. They were hard because this is how we dive. And when we start to dive, things start coming up. But it's worth it. Jesus spent a night alone in prayer before he chose his disciples. Jesus took time away after the death of John the Baptist. How many of us have had a significant death in our life and we just jump back in? Got to keep moving because as soon as I stop, that wave of grief comes, right? Less and less are folks given time off to go to funerals. Less and less are people taking time off to grieve, to lament. Jesus took time off after the feeding of the 5,000, after healing a leper, when the 12 returned from this preaching and teaching, where we're looking at today. Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. There's a really old, old story about a frog, okay? So if you want to boil a frog, you can't get the water boiling and throw the frog into the pot. What is the frog going to do? The frog is going to jump, right? The frog is going to jump out because it is big and it is immediately noticeable and the frog can react. If you want to boil a frog, what do? You stick the frog in the pot and you start the flame and the heat rises slowly, right? And this is what happens in our life. The hurry rises slowly until all of a sudden we are cooked. We are done. We are done. Verse 31 says, they were coming and going. They had no leisure even to eat. You ever been that busy, that hurried? And I almost said it. I did say it. There is a difference between busy and hurry. We're thinking, oh, but aren't they the same? No, they're not. I just learned this last night. Busy means that we have a full schedule and we have many activities, and those activities can be physically demanding. Jesus was busy. The disciples were busy. There was intention to their life. But hurried is tied to something that is unhealthy. It is this unhealthy inner drive. It is about keeping up appearances. It is about proving yourself. It is rooted in fear. It is rooted in worry. It means, you know, we're preoccupied. We can never be where we are. We have the chance to spend some time with some loved ones, but our mind is somewhere else, and our heart is somewhere else. Ever had that happen? You know, you have a chance to sit down in a chair and to just rest for a moment, and you get monkey brain. Right? There's a difference between being busy and being hurried. Busy, we are constantly kind of remind, God, I need your help with this. God, you know, we're constantly in communication with God so that our eyes are open and our hearts are open. We're on God's timing, on God's agenda. But hurry, we are cut off from God by all of this unhealthy stuff. We are unavailable to God. Vance Havner says this: if you don't come apart for a while, you will come apart in a while. Yep. Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. Jesus is saying, come away with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me. He has formed me. He has designed me to lie down in green pastures, to be led by still waters. And when that happens, my soul will be restored. Jesus' cure for hurry sickness is ceasing. Solitude, silence, slowing, Sabbath, creating a space to listen, a space to trust God to provide. Because we are constantly barraged with stimulation and distraction and the world trying to tell us who we are and what we should be. Imagine with me scaffolding. Okay, scaffolding. I was really surprised when they were going to paint the exterior of the church. They did not use scaffolding. They used one of those cherry picker lift things, which was really safe. Really, really safe for the painters. But we've seen scaffolding before. And this is what we do. We build the scaffolding to kind of prop us up and say, I'm okay. I'm okay. To convince ourselves that we are important and needed, to measure ourselves. I'm normal. I'm okay. But what this ceasing does, what the silence and the solitude does, is it helps us to get rid of the scaffolding. Because scaffolding is not a strong foundation, right? It's temporary. It can be rickety. It takes time to go deep. And so, what I would invite you to do, along with me, is not make a New Year's resolution. That's a year is a long time. Let's try a month. Let's try a week. Okay? And you're thinking, okay, you know, I got to be like Jesus. I got to go 40 days in the wilderness. No, no. God places moments of ceasing and solitude and silence around us all day long. All day long. What would it be like as you're driving to turn off the radio and have quiet time? What would it be like before you get out of bed? Maybe when the house is still quiet, to just have a few moments of quiet time. Maybe with your morning cup of coffee. A few moments of quiet. Maybe before you go to bed at night, you take a moment and walk outside into the cool and the dark, and you have a moment of quiet. Maybe you decide to walk somewhere. Maybe it's a purposeful walk. Maybe you're walking in to go to the grocery store, or go to the bank, or go to work, but you're not there already. You are where you are, and you walk and you listen. Maybe you literally stop and smell a flower or notice a tree or a bug. And so for this next month, would you notice some things? Would you seek God in the ceasing? And let me know how it goes. And ask me how it's going for me.